Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Mark Levine reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. There's been a lot of comparisons this weekend to Watergate. I guess it's no surprise. The obstruction of justice that Donald Trump has now admitted to having done reminds a lot of people of Richard Nixon. The parallels are imperfect, to be sure. Frankly, Richard Nixon was a lot smarter about his cover-up. He covered it up a lot more. He seemed to realize that what he was doing was wrong and therefore tried to hide it. Whereas, well, Donald Trump, who knows what he thinks? He doesn't seem to have any particular moral sensibility or ethical sensibility or even real understanding of the law and how it works. So last week I talked about the firing of Jim Comey, and I pointed out what I still believe, which is that Jim Comey absolutely violated the law, or at least Justice Department ethical guidelines, when he disclosed Hillary Clinton's what? There was no new information. He disclosed that there was a possibility of new information that turned out not to be new. Wow. He disclosed nothing and at the same time managed to swing an election. Sometimes some people dispute me on this. Some say that I can't prove he swung the election, but I do know what the polls show, and I do know the election was very, very close. Hillary won by 3 million votes, but only lost by 72,000 votes in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. Indeed, she lost by fewer votes than the Jill Stein count in each of those states. So if just people were sickened enough of Hillary Clinton to vote for Jill Stein, they made the difference. In the end, of course, James Comey had nothing. It turns out that Huma Abedin had an automatic backup from her BlackBerry and had already turned over every single email they found to the FBI. And, of course, none of them were marked classified. Comey seems to believe that Hillary Clinton should have gone back into a time machine. He doesn't really know where to get that time machine, but if it's on Amazon, I'll buy one. But apparently Hillary Clinton should have gone back in the time machine and realized that the stuff that she was sending to a person with a security clearance, named Huma Abedin, that was marked unclassified, would later be retroactively marked as classified under our system, which marks pretty much everything classified. Indeed, what the FBI eats for lunch is classified. So she didn't know that maybe her lunch would retroactively be marked classified, and therefore, she didn't realize that sending something to someone who's authorized to receive it was a problem, particularly given that, well, thousands of other government officials do the same thing every single day. In any case, it was nothing. He didn't look to see if it was something. He didn't get a warrant, look at the emails to see if it was anything. Instead, he cast out this innuendo, this thing that, frankly, he should have known was nothing. Should have known it was nothing. I mean, the chances were 99% it was nothing. He had to prove not just that there was classified information there, and again, the only thing that was there he'd seen before and was retroactively classified. So again, he had to prove that Hillary Clinton should have gotten that time machine, because it wasn't enough that it be classified. He had to prove that Hillary Clinton had the intent to violate the classification laws. Now, unlike, say, David Petraeus, who disclosed secretive information to his mistress, who was writing a book about him, Hillary Clinton sending to her aide, who had a security clearance, some information that wasn't marked classified, was really unlikely to prove that she intended to somehow, conspire with a foreign power to get our classified information. Seemed really unlikely. But, if he checked it out and that was there, he could have told the public. But he didn't check it out. He told the public, checked it out, found nothing. At that exact same time, we now know, though frankly I reported it back in July of 2016. In fact, I talked about, and you can watch it, I have the clip from Fox News. I was on air saying that Vladimir Putin was trying to hack into Democratic emails purposely to throw the election to Donald Trump. I said it before Hillary Clinton said it. In fact, I said it the same month that the FBI decided to investigate, and I don't have security clearance. But that crime that they're investigating, far more serious than someone in government doing what other people in government do, which is send information to aides that's not marked classified on unclassified servers. After all, if it is classified, Hillary Clinton sent it through the classified State Department email server. It was only the unclassified information that she sent this way. But in any case, very hard to prove she meant to do anything wrong there, and intent matters in the law. However, meanwhile, various people in the Trump campaign were actively bragging about using evidence collected from Russian espionage, using Russian intelligence service espionage to try to win the election. Roger Stone bragged about this. Heck, even Rudy Giuliani bragged about this. Meanwhile, we know that Paul Manafort, his campaign manager, had not disclosed his work for the Russians, which, of course, is a crime, nor Carter Page, foreign policy guy with Trump, who seemed to be actively working for the Russians. Again, it's all being investigated. But the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails, which Comey would find nothing on, was mentioned to the public in October. The investigation into something far, far more serious and dangerous, the espionage, potential treason, potential conspiracy of Trump officials. Not worthy of letting the American people know. So even though Comey was breaking the guidelines and disclosing adverse information against Hillary close to the election that turned out to be nothing, which is what makes it innuendo and not fact, he refused to disclose his investigation into far more serious stuff for Donald Trump. So I'm no fan of Jim Comey. But just because I think Jim Comey failed in his job, and frankly had no right to his job, does not mean I believe the president has a right to fire anyone who's investigating him. And Donald Trump made it very clear, even though we all knew it was true, he made it very clear that's why Jim Comey was fired. What's fascinating is his whole team cooked up this elaborate lie. The lie was it had to do with Hillary Clinton's emails. We now know, because Donald Trump told us so, that he went to the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, and said, hey, Rod, I want to fire Comey. Cook me up a justification for it. And Rosenstein cooked up a believable justification. I told you, I think his treatment of Hillary Clinton was a violation of the law, a very dangerous threat to our democracy, a reason to fire Jim Comey, no question. Rosenstein did his job. But that wasn't Trump's motivation. Trump praised Comey breaking the law to hurt Hillary. What Trump doesn't like is Comey following the law in ways that could turn him in, that could tar him, that could take him down. So he has dinner with Jim Comey. Comey doesn't call for the dinner. Trump lies about that, too. And he says, Comey, come meet with me one-on-one. Comey didn't want to do that. Think about this. Comey had said that the reason why he had to talk all about Hillary Clinton was because Loretta Lynch was on a plane and Hillary's husband, Bill Clinton, comes in, former president of the United States, on a very, very hot day and shoots the breeze with her for 20 minutes, talks about their kids and things. No one really thinks they were talking about the investigation. After all, if he wanted to do that and he wanted it private, he could have called her. So that's the reason, apparently, why Comey felt he had to break all Justice Department guidelines and disclose investigations, which is against all the rules. But Comey himself meets privately with Donald Trump at Trump's request, not the spouse of the target investigation, the target of the investigation itself. And again, a very serious criminal counterintelligence, espionage, treason investigation, not whether or not a regulation regarding the proper treatment of emails was violated. This is no parking ticket. This is a major investigation. Calls him in and asks for his loyalty. The President of the United States says to the guy investigating him, hey, I want you to be loyal. Will you be loyal? Comey said, I'll be honest. President, no, I want you to be loyal. Now, if this were in some mafia movie, would we have any doubt as to what he meant? What does loyal mean in the context of someone investigating you? Specifically loyal. Think about what that means. He's not a cabinet officer now. He's not the attorney general, although even that's questionable since the attorney general is supposed to be the lead law enforcement officer. He says, I want you to be loyal. Loyal. Loyalty is something you ask for from, I don't know, your employee, maybe, or someone who's serving under your command. Not someone who has an independent role and who is investigating you. Can you imagine police officer stopping me for speeding? And I say, as he's writing me up the ticket, officer, will you be loyal to me? And he's like, huh? What are you talking about? And then I say, officer, you're fired. Don't write that ticket. You're fired. Yeah, they might lock me up in the loony bin. So Comey refused the loyalty oath. And Trump admitted, this is what's so funny. So Trump puts out all these people, they come up with this lie. They're going to say it's because of the treatment of Hillary Clinton. And again, that's a reason to fire Comey, but it wasn't Trump's reason. And everybody trots it out. Kellyanne Conway trots it out. Sean Spicer's deputy, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, trots it out. Spicer knows it's a lie. He's busy hiding in the bushes. Says no cameras. And he kind of trots it out. And then the vice president of the United States, four times, lies and says he was Donald Trump fired Jim Comey because Jim Comey unfairly treated Hillary Clinton. And he says it with a straight face. That's the story they cooked up. But then something interesting happens. Rod Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, who's in charge on this matter because the attorney general, Jeff Sessions, recused himself because he also lied to Congress about his meetings with the Russians. Rosenstein says, Donald, or he probably said, Mr. President, if you put this on me, if you tell the world, the public, the American public, that I am the reason you fired Comey when we all know it's not true, I'm going to resign. And then you're going to have another Saturday Night Massacre on your hands. And if you don't know what that means, after the break, we'll explain the Saturday Night Massacre in Watergate and what that was and why it matters for today. So now Trump has to change his story. And so he immediately calls Lester Holt, right? This is not a guy who regularly does interviews with the mainstream press. He immediately calls Lester Holt and says, I want to sit down and interview. And he throws all of his team under the bus, including the vice president of the United States, and says, nope, they were all lying. Actually, I fired Trump because of, quote, that Russia thing, unquote. Which actually is true. When we come back, I want to talk about Watergate. I want to go into the details of Watergate. I want to talk about why the crimes for which Trump and his team are being investigated are far, far worse than anything Richard Nixon did. And what we as the American public have to do, and frankly what Republicans have to do, to either stop this corruption or lose in the greatest landslide they faced ever. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back. Right?
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal America. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levin, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Talking a little bit more about Jim Comey and Watergate and really just trying to explain what's going on here. put it all in context. And, of course, you're welcome to call in and share your own two cents at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. So I was too young to really understand the machinations of Watergate, to follow it, to be enraptured by it. By the way, I certainly would be if I had been an adult during the Watergate era. I'm quite confident I would have watched every minute of it. Of course, they didn't have 24/7 cable coverage at the time. So I assume what you do is, apart from watching the nightly news, is, anxiously await the Washington Post first thing in the morning, probably, to see what Woodward and Bernstein had written about all the president's men. So it's definitely a matter of history for me. And frankly, those of you who've lived through it, if you have some insight into how it felt like then and how it feels like now, I'd love if you'd call in and share that with me, share it with the audience, 888-488-MARK. But my impression of Watergate is Richard Nixon was paranoid. He had his list of enemies. He very much wanted to win the election of 1972. How ironic, by the way, that Richard Nixon's people, his men, breaking into the Democratic National Headquarters in the Watergate building, yielded so little information of any use to him in the election of 1972. I'm not even sure he weaponized it, as the word is. And in any case, he won 49 states in 1972. Every state but Massachusetts and the District of Columbia. He won in a landslide. He also, sorry, Donald, won the popular vote by a very large number. So I don't even know that Richard Nixon used information from the Watergate break-in. And if he did, I'm very confident it didn't affect the election. It's kind of pathetic, right? Richard Nixon removed from office, would have been impeached. He resigned before they could kick him out because he was trying to cover up a crime that his people committed to help him in the election that didn't help him at all. Whereas for Donald Trump, the crime, first of all, was far more severe. This wasn't some bungling break-in. This was a giant hacking. The information obtained was far greater. And it wasn't done by, Trump's men, per se. It was done by probably our single greatest enemy on the planet, done by the Russians, by Vladimir Putin. We can dispute over whether, Iran or North Korea is a greater enemy. I just think they're less powerful and therefore less dangerous. But it's certainly up there. I mean, Ronald Reagan called the Soviet Union the evil empire. Imagine how Ronald Reagan would feel if he knew that the evil empire had conspired to commit espionage against the United States in order to win an election for a Republican. Somehow, I don't think he'd be sympathetic to the Russian dictator. But obviously, Trump is no Ronald Reagan. And during the course of the campaign, he actively encouraged the Russians. He said, if you've got information that you've hacked into, if you've committed espionage, use it to help my campaign. I remember when he said that, thinking, isn't that a conspiracy? Conspiracies don't have to be secret if you're an idiot, if you're a dumb criminal. They can be open. And there's nothing Donald Trump reminds me more of than a dumb criminal. The guy that robs a bank, but he's got that neck chain with his work ID around it and his name on it. That's Donald Trump. In any case, we'll talk more about it after the break. Call in 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Toll-free number 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Talking about Watergate as we enter Watergate Redux. And again, I invite particularly people who are around at that time and remember what it was like. I'd love to get perspective from you as to what it was like then and what it's like now. What are the similarities? What are the differences? At 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Of course, in Watergate, a special prosecutor was appointed. And one may still be appointed now. In fact, I think the only way that Donald Trump will ever get back to trying to be president again will be if a special prosecutor is appointed. Otherwise, every single day, we're going to talk about Russia. Because when you fire the person investigating you, that sets off alarm bells. All these people that say he has nothing to hide. You know what? If you have nothing to hide, then you say, go ahead, investigate. You'll find nothing. But instead, when you say, I don't like him investigating, I demanded his loyalty, he rejected his loyalty, so I fired him because of the Russian thing, and then I had to hold my team lie about it. But then when the lie was threatened to be exposed, I decided to expose it myself. That doesn't look good. Nor did it look good in 1973 when Richard Nixon, having had a special prosecutor having been appointed, fired that special prosecutor. Now, interestingly, he couldn't fire the special prosecutor directly. Only the Justice Department could. All he could do was fire the people who could fire Cox. And his attorney general, Elliot Richardson, at the time said, I'm not going to file Archibald Cox. Why would I fire someone conducting a lawful investigation into possible high crimes by the President of the United States? I'm not going to do that. So Nixon said, fine, you're fired. Then he went to Deputy Attorney General William Ruckelshaus. And Ruckelshaus said, I'm not going to fire your special prosecutor. So Nixon said, you're fired. So then he went to the Solicitor General, all on a Saturday. That's the reason it's called the Saturday Night Massacre. That was Robert Bork at the time. You may remember Robert Bork, a guy so right-wing that he was rejected by the Democrats for the Supreme Court. And Bork said, sure, boss, I'll fire him. I don't give a damn about whether or not you've committed high crimes or misdemeanors. I just want to be a loyal Republican. So Bork put his president above his country, fired Archibald Cox. But then they appointed a new special prosecutor, and, well, the rest is history. The only other interesting thing, of course, is that a lot of Republicans didn't come around to support impeachment of Richard Nixon until they found out there were tapes in the White House, until they found out there was an 18-and-a-half-minute gap in those tapes. I believe it may have been the same tape that Nixon was talking about paying hush money. Now, Donald Trump is alluding to the fact that he may have tapes, and in fact, a lot of his colleagues are telling us that he would regularly tape conversations on the phone with people he was negotiating with. Could Donald have tapes? And if Donald were to destroy those tapes, could even Republicans then try to deny that he's obstructed justice? Indeed, in asking Comey to be loyal, didn't he obstruct justice then and there? Some Republicans don't care, though. Some Republicans still want to fight the old election, still want to attack Hillary Clinton, and they really don't care where the President of the United States is conspiring with the evil empire to commit espionage in order to rig our elections. That's not important to them. What's important to them is how they can find their way to best attack Hillary Clinton. I don't know if that's true of my caller, but I want to give him a chance to explain it on his own. A person who calls himself Conservative Dean from Massachusetts, listening on line three. Hey, Dean, how are you, sir?
Hey, how we doing?
I'm all right. So you, do you care? Hey, do you care what Trump's doing, or you just want to attack Hillary Clinton?
We can hit the gamma. I'm cool with all of it.
Okay,
anyway,
so do you think a special prosecutor should be appointed to check out whether or not Trump or his team colluded with the Russians to commit espionage? Do you think that's something we should, as Americans, have a right to know, or do you think we have no right to know that?
I don't think he colluded with the Russians at all.
So actually, we shouldn't even investigate? If he didn't do it, why not investigate it, show he didn't do it, and then he's cleared and then go off and be a good conservative president? Why not clear him then?
Yeah, then we can prosecute Hillary. I mean, I'm cool with that.
All right, so are you cool with the investigation?
Of a plutonium to the Russians.
So you support a special prosecutor?
The Clinton Foundation.
Dean, you support a special prosecutor to find out the truth of whether or not Trump or his people colluded with the Russians, conspired with them to commit espionage. You're okay with a special prosecutor. I just want to be clear about that.
I don't have a problem with that, and I don't believe
All right, I'm glad to hear it.
The reason why anybody's talking about this today is because Donald J. Trump stood up there at the podium and said if they had something, he wouldn't care, if they wouldn't mind if they shared it.
Why do you think he fired Jim Comey?
The reporters are mad is because she didn't think of to say it first. And
why do you think Donald Trump fired Jim Comey? You don't think it was to disrupt the Russia investigation?
I don't know. Geez, does he have an R in front of his name or a D?
Well, he said he did it for the Russia thing. Was he telling the truth or was he lying?
Was who telling the truth?
When Donald Trump told Lester Holt that he fired Comey because of the Russian thing. Do you think he was telling the truth, or do you think it was something else?
No, I don't know. It's probably the Russian thing. But
yeah,
anyway.
I think it is. Okay, so all right, so we agreed that he fired Comey to try to disrupt the investigation, and you support a special prosecutor. I'm really glad to hear that, because all this hatred towards Hillary, isn't it kind of beside the point now? I mean, she's not running for office again.
Well, let's see. We've got all these Antifa and all these other crews running around tearing up America.
Who?
And, you know,
Antifa? What's Antifa? I've never heard of it.
And it's time to melt.
Wait, who's disrupting America? Antifa? What's that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's
I've never heard of it either.
He was living in mommy's basement up in Massachusetts, and they're kind of spread out a little bit now.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. But what I do find interesting is that even though you're clearly a conservative and you clearly do not like the Clintons, that's very clear, you agree with me that Donald Trump tried to disrupt the investigation by firing Comey, and that a special prosecutor should be appointed. And I think that's the right thing for you, because if you think he's innocent, and I don't, but we don't know. Neither you nor I know the details.
Do.
No, you don't. Do you have access to classified information? Did Donald Trump bring you into those discussions?
Being the same thing.
Have you seen his financial records? How do you know he's not guilty?
I don't care about his financial records.
You don't care? Do you care? If Russia gave him $1 billion, would you care?
And got all this money and put it in their pocket and did nothing for Haiti?
There's
not a Haitian on the planet that would vote for him.
But you don't care whether the President of the United States is taking hush money from the Russians? That doesn't bother you? I mean, I don't know if it's true.
He's got his own money. That's why.
Where do you think he got it? What if he got it from the Russians? Would that bother you?
Where'd you get your money? Did you get yours from the Russians?
No.
Me either, because, I mean, I don't have.
Yeah, but Donald Trump's got he has business interests in Russia that I don't have. So all I'm asking is, why? It sounds like you agree. Let's investigate. You're convinced he's done nothing wrong. I'm not so convinced. We'll investigate. We'll have an independent special prosecutor, an independent body of Congress, not Democrats, not Republicans, but hardened prosecutors, investigators, FBI people who are trained to find out these things. And let's see what's true and what's not true. And then if he's done nothing wrong, you win, Dean, because then he can go and do all the things you want to do. Well, I don't think so, because I don't think he's going to get anything through Congress with all of this over his head. I really don't. I think that it weakens him as a president. I think there's a reason why he hasn't really accomplished much of anything. He signed some executive orders, but he doesn't get laws passed, even though the Republicans control Congress. And I think it's because Republicans don't trust him. Now, Democrats already don't trust him. That's true. But I think Republicans are starting to understand that they can't trust him. And that means he can't get the legislation that you want to see passed.
So if you had your way, at the end of the day, would Hillary Clinton have been president?
Sure, I voted for Hillary Clinton. I think she would have been a great president.
It hurts my heart to hear that. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt your heart, Dean.
The wool is over your eyes, and somebody's paying you to say that. And that, I mean, hey, that's
no,
cool.
No. I get some ad revenue, but what's that?
I said you've got to make money because it takes a lot of fuel to run that yacht.
You know, I've worked with Hillary Clinton. I have a lot of respect for Hillary Clinton.
Did you realize
in Congress.
That Hillary Clinton was put off of the Watergate thing because she was too liberal? Did you ever report that, or do you even know that?
You know, I don't know what your news sources are, but do you look at a variety of news sources from the right and the left and the center just to make sure that what you're saying is accurate?
I don't care about Fox News, CNN. I watch everything and make an informed decision of my own.
Okay. No, I have a lot of respect for Hillary Clinton because I've seen Hillary Clinton in private do the right thing even when it wasn't the political thing. So I've seen that.
Yeah. What was that? She paid the tab at the restaurant or what? I mean, you know.
By the way, Snopes.com explains that your belief about the Watergate thing is entirely false. And gives a lot of detail about it. I'll provide that on my website. You know, I understand people believe things that they read on the internet all the time. Well, frankly, the president appears to. But they go through and they explain how it's just not true.
What was not true about Hillary being too liberal, being put off of the Watergate committee?
Right. That's false.
Oh, that was actually reported on CNN. I watched the whole thing, or not see it. Yeah, CNN.
Yeah. She wasn't fired. None of that. just isn't true. But again, it's something in Snopes, and I'll go ahead and I'll put it in on the my website, marklevinetalk.com.
So and I'll go look at
others
it.
Good. Take a look. Others can read for itself. I'll tell you this. I do appreciate your calling in. I don't mind when people call in and disagree, and I appreciate our respectful conversation. So thank you, Dean. Thank you for calling in.
Have a great day, and we'll be listening.
All right. Keep listening. Folks, I'm going to take another break. Toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Again, any of you remember Watergate? I was too young. I'd just love to hear if it felt like this. Because I think we're headed over a cliff. But I'm curious to see what you think. I'll be right back right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Put it at my website when I'm done here, marklevinetalk.com. Turns out that the guy who claimed that he fired Hillary Clinton had no power to fire Hillary Clinton, and she wasn't fired. And, in fact, he was mad at her boss, Peter Rodino, the chair of the committee. And, in fact, in 95, he wrote a book where he didn't mention firing Hillary Clinton, and she was first lady at the time. So I think he might have remembered. He's changed his story. But this is just, again, it's like the sex ring in the child pizza parlor. You know, if you tell enough lies enough times, Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi propagandist, reminds us, people start to believe them. So hopefully you're listening, Dean, and hopefully you'll check out the link, and hopefully you will recognize truth and let it trump your emotions. Pardon the pun. I asked when I called in for people who remembered Watergate to tell me whether it had the same feel today as it did then. And I got one of my constituents from Alexandria, Virginia, actually someone I know well, Julian on line 3, is going to tell us what he remembers about Watergate. Julian, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. Mark,
thanks for calling in.
I was around in 1973. Of course, we didn't have the internet in those days. We didn't see things in real time. But I remember how there was a bipartisan inquiry. I remember Senator Sam Ervin, who was a former judge from Carolina, I think.
North Carolina,
North
yeah.
North Carolina. And, I
and Howard Baker of Tennessee, a Republican, who actually
exactly.
felt...
I remember, yeah, he was the Republican, and he was as tough on the inquiry as Sam Ervin was, except Sam spoke much more slowly because he was old school.
but how did it feel for the public, Julian? I kind of know what I've seen on the clip, so I know the history. Tell me how did it feel like the shoe was going to drop? Did it feel like every day new information came out? Did you feel like it was all legal? Leading somewhere? Was it very confusing? How did it differ, the feelings then and 40 years later?
Well, we followed it intensely. I think it was being followed all around the world. It's difficult to say because in those days you had to read it in the newspaper and people didn't communicate with each other so much like we do now, but there was an enormous amount of interest. And I think that we thought that the Nixon presidency was going down, but it was a very, very slow death. And it wasn't like nowadays. It was not good for America's image abroad.
Did you find people in those days?
The inquiry was going,
yeah.
And that showed democracy was living. But the Nixon presidency, that really brought it into disrepute.
Julian, did you find people in those days that just Nixon, right or wrong, it didn't matter what happened, he was to be believed? Were there some good diehard people in those days?
No, Nixon didn't have a cult. He had a few hardcore Republican followers, but he did not have a cult who believed him right or wrong, who drank the Kool-Aid. That just didn't exist.
That's a real difference.
The following that Trump has is a new and I think very disturbing phenomenon. to do with reality TV and with...
I do remember when I got older, because, of course, Richard Nixon won in a landslide in 1972. He's not like Donald Trump, who only got 46% of the vote, lost by 3 million votes to Hillary Clinton. He won in a landslide, and yet I remember in the 80s asking people, did you vote for Nixon? Did you vote for Nixon? And I couldn't find anyone who did. Now, obviously, people did. I mean, I know that for a fact. That's objectively true. But the point was, 10 years later, no one wanted to admit that they ever voted for Nixon. And I'd just be curious if that's where we end up with Trump, 2, 3, 4, 10 years from now.
Well, the one thing that we notice is that the hardcore Republicans that we know, and I'm not necessarily the crazies, because we don't meet too many crazies, but we do meet hardcore Republicans, country club types, and they go silent when the subject of Trump comes up.
Yeah, see, the ones that I've talked to in private, Julian, and that includes actually some of my Republican delegates, they will say things in private they will never say in public. I don't know a single Republican that actually trusts and respects this guy. And I know a lot of Republicans. I work with some of them. And I mean very conservative people. I don't mean they're not conservative. They just don't like or trust Trump. And I just wonder when the dam's going to break and they're going to say so publicly. I do have to go, though, Julian, because I have a whole bunch of callers on the line, and I want to get to them. Thanks for calling in. Let me go to Shar in Albuquerque, New Mexico, on line 5. Hey, Shar, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, Mark. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine. Yes, go ahead.
Great, great. I'm just flabbergasted by the belief of the previous caller, Mr. Dean.
Yeah, Conservative Dean, he calls himself.
I'm sorry?
He calls himself Conservative Dean.
Well, whatever he calls himself, I call him Idiot Dean. I think Donald Trump is a complete travesty. I don't believe that he belongs in anywhere near Washington, D.C., and he is going to be what brings the American people down so low if we don't all stand up and not take his garbage anymore. He is a crook. He continues to do as he pleases. And yes, I believe that he can't call me because he was getting too close to the actual facts of what transpired.
Yeah. Luckily for us, he's too stupid to realize that the investigation is going to continue with or without Comey. And I'm actually pretty confident of that. We'll see who he appoints, if someone who could shut it down. But certainly the deputy FBI director, Andrew McCabe, I think, is proceeding full steam ahead. Thanks for your call, Shar. I just want to get a couple more callers in if I can. John in line 2 in Gilbert, Arizona. Hey, John.
Hi. Yeah, so on the comparisons with Trump and Nixon, I'm too young for that. But when I was in high school here in Arizona, we had a Governor Ev Meekum.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same situation where every day there was some new ridiculously moronic statement that would come out of the governor's mouth, insulting black children, racial slurs, insulting lawyers,
mm-hmm.
whatever it was. And there was always, or there was some criminal wrongdoing that would come out. And, 60-70% of the population would go, what did he do? But then he had his believers, his cult,
right?
That just no matter what was said, no matter how horrible, no matter how much of a bigoted statement the guy made,
they defend him.
It was.
I'll tell you, John, your state, Arizona, is interesting because your state senators, both McCain and Flake, have distanced themselves from Donald Trump, which I think is they're both Republicans. I think it's a smart thing for them to do because I think Republicans are going to face two choices. They can stand with Trump and all go down together like the Titanic, or they can stand with America. They can stand with our principles and frankly survive this wave because I don't think it's anti-Republican so much as anti-Trump. And I have to give credit to your senators because they're not great on a lot of issues, but they haven't drunk the Trump Kool-Aid and they put their country first. Lindsey Graham is another one like that. The question will be in 2018, where do the Republicans stand and will it take the threat of a landslide to make them defend their country over their president? This is Mark Levine. Tune in Wednesday. For now, I'm signing off.